Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeartRadio. And how the tech are ya? So, last week, I did an episode about CPU architecture, and I talked about buses, which in this case are not vehicles meant to transport a group of folks from one place to a destination. Instead, we're talking about connections that allow data to pass through them. That could be raw data, or it could be instructions for a processor to perform on some raw data. And I mentioned that I would follow up with an episode explaining things like 8-bit and 16-bit machines, all the way up to 64-bit systems and processors. So let's get to it. And first of all, a bit. Y'all probably know this, I'm pretty sure about that, but a bit is a single unit of digital information, and it can have one of two values or states. It can either be zero or it can be a one. And I always think of a simple light switch. Like a light switch, a very simple light switch can either be off or it can be on, but that's it. Those are the only two options. So when we say something is an 8-bit machine, you'll likely intuit that this has some relationship with 8 bits, like 8 units of this basic digital information. And you would be right. When we talk about a device or a program in terms of bit numbers like this, we're talking about the capability of the machine in question. So the more bits, the more capable the machine is at handling larger units of data at once, essentially in a single cycle, which we'll get to. So let's talk about those 8 bits for a second first. With 8 bits, you have 256 variations possible. So remember, a single bit has two potential states, a zero or a one. So that's it. It's 2 to the power of 1 because you have 1 bit with 2 potential states. With 8 bits, you have 2 potential states, but 8 different bits to it. So it's 2 to the power of 8 values. That's 256 variations. And that goes from 00000000 to 1111111, and then everything in between. So an 8-bit system has a processor, memory, buses, etc. that can handle values of up to 8 bits of data. So an 8-bit CPU can transfer 8 bits of data per clock cycle. Now, I did mention we were going to circle back on what a clock cycle is. So a CPU's clock is a bit of the CPU that has an oscillating element. And that oscillation, a single oscillation, is a full oscillation, is a clock cycle. And that's how many cycles you have in a second that tells you your clock speed. So if you have an 8-bit system that was running at 1 megahertz, then that would mean you would have a system that's running at 1 million cycles per second. A megahertz would mean that you have a million oscillations per second. And that would mean that for every second that passes, this processor could transfer 8 million bits of data in 8-bit chunks. And that would be the limitation of this particular system. Let's say then we were to step up to a 16-bit system. Now we're talking about a processor that can handle up to 16 bits of data at any given moment. And while 8 bits can represent up to 256 variations or values or states, if you prefer, 16 bits ups the game to 65,536 values, or 2 to the 16th power. So this is a big jump, right? A 16-bit system can allow for much larger values than an 8-bit system. It can handle more data in a given amount of cycles. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that a 16-bit system, it has a faster clock speed, although it probably would. And this is where thinking about physical buses, like the kind you would get on to go to work or to school or whatever, it actually becomes a little bit useful because we can kind of use an analogy. It's an analogy that has limitations, but we can kind of think of it. So let's say we've got 2 buses. One bus can hold just 8 people, including the driver. The other bus can hold 16 people, including the driver. Now, both buses travel the same route, and both buses have the same top speed. So bus A, which holds 8 people, gets to its destination in 2 hours, let's say. Bus B can hold 16 people, but will also take 2 hours to get to its destination. So in other words, both buses required the same amount of time to travel from start to finish, but bus B was able to carry twice as many people. Well, if we think of computer systems and computer buses in a similar way, that kind of starts to illustrate what these different systems are capable of. However, we do have to say we're not talking about twice as many people when we go from 8-bit to 16-bit. The analogy doesn't totally work because the number of people and the bit size of information isn't really analogous. It just lets us separate the thought of capacity from speed because these are related but different. So as we step up from 8-bit to 16-bit, we see that the system is able to transfer way more information within a single clock cycle. And you might think that as capacity, because the clock cycles are really the speed, and the bit is the capacity here. So if somehow you had an 8-bit system that could run at a gigahertz, and you had a 16-bit system that ran at a megahertz, well, yes, the 16-bit is handling more information per clock cycle, but the 8-bit system has way, way, way more clock cycles than the 16-bit system does. So again, related, but not the same. So a 16-bit system could handle binary numbers up to 16 bits long. So therefore, it stands to reason that when we start getting to a 32-bit processor, you're talking about it's handling values that are up to 32 bits long, and a 64-bit processor then handles values up to 64 bits long, or digits verse that are up to 64 bits long. And when we get up to that capacity, the numbers start looking real meaningless because they get so big so fast. So remember, 16 bits, we're talking about, 65,536 values, as I recall. If we're talking about 32 bits, that jumps way up to, 4,294,967,296 variations, I believe. So 2 to the 32nd power. Yeah, that's a lot. Like, suddenly we've gone super huge. But just wait, because once we get to the 64-bit system, forget about it. That's 2 to the 64th power in the number of values that you can have or represent with 64 bits worth of information. I can't even really give you the number there. We're talking about like 18 quintillion variations. You really need to go with scientific notation at that point in order to really handle stuff. So you're talking about like 1.84 times 10 to the 19th power on that one. And obviously that's an approximation, not specific. But yeah, at the end of the day, the bit designation tells us the size of data that a processor can transfer per clock cycle, how much information it can handle as it's performing these operations. So again, that combined with the clock cycle speed tells you how much information this processor can handle at once and how fast it appears to us. Now, making this more complicated is the software side of things. It probably seems obvious that a 16-bit machine cannot run 64-bit code. I'm not going to get into virtual machines here, but those do complicate things even more. And without an emulator, a 64-bit machine can't necessarily run 32-bit code. That being said, Windows machines have an emulator called WoW64. This allows a 64-bit Windows device to run 32-bit Windows-based programs on it. So most Windows users won't have really many issues if they happen to have a 64-bit machine and Windows operating system, and they still want to run 32-bit software. But yes, that's a quick rundown on what those mean. So when you hear about like the original Nintendo being an 8-bit system and then later systems being 16 or 32-bit systems, it really tells you about the capacity for those machines to handle larger amounts of information, which we typically experience either as faster processing or more sophisticated programs running on the machine. But I wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's happening in the bottom level to really understand that. Okay, that's it for this super short tidbits episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And I'll have another new episode for you tomorrow, a slightly longer one. And until then, I'll talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.